Angels, perhaps we can make a start and join together in some hymn singing just before the meeting commences properly. Would you turn with me, please, to the hymn 382. 382 in the hymn book, page 331. Who can cheer the heart like Jesus? By his presence all divine, true and tender, pure and precious, oh, how blessed to call him mine. Keeping our seats and singing as unto the Lord, please. I will sing. And 38. That's real good singing. I want you to keep it up. 538 on page 393. There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the king as an ensign fair. We lift it up today while his ransomed ones we'll sing. We sing verse 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
trying to gather 412, page 343. Again, the words on the screen. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, as it told thy love to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. The first and the last verse of 412. Hymn 166 on page 244, great hymn. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound, let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come. Sing verse 1, 3, and 5, please.
Thank you. Well, that was tremendous singing unto the Lord. We trust God will be with us tonight as we gather in His presence. Could we just have a brief word of prayer before we enter into the full meeting itself? Our Heavenly Father and our gracious God, we bow in your presence in the name of thy well-beloved Son. We thank thee for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we pray that the blessed Spirit, as we have been singing, will come among us afresh. We thank thee for the Comforter, the one who comes alongside to touch the hearts of his people, to meet their needs, to bless the preaching of the word. And we pray that in all of this, Christ will be exalted and his name will be glorified. So abide with us. Prepare us now. Touch our souls. Draw very near and come among us tonight in a wonderful way. We ask all this for Christ's sake. Amen. We're going to turn together, please, to page 192 and the hymn number 42. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made. Hymn number 42. Now, after we have sung this hymn, or in fact in the last verse, I invite our brother, the Reverend Logan Elder. I trust Logan is here, and he's going to come forward to lead us in prayer. He is a young man who has just recently graduated from the Geneva Seminary in Greenville. He now is the minister, the pastor of Orlando Free Presbyterian Church in Florida, and that is where our brother, Mr. Wagner, preached many years ago and pioneered the congregation there. And I think it's very appropriate that we have Mr. Elder come to lead us to the Lord in prayer at the close of this hymn. So he will come forward at that point. So number 42, and we'll stand together as we sing the Lord's praise.
Thank you. let us all seek the Lord together in a word of prayer. Our gracious and eternal God, we come before Thee this evening in the name of our precious Lord Jesus Christ. We do approach Thee in all of His merit, Lord, not clinging to anything of ourselves, but confidently pleading the merits of His precious blood. And we are thankful, O Lord, that we have that access unto Thee tonight through our Lord Jesus. And we do plead all of His work on our behalf, Lord. We do give thanks through Him unto Thee for all of Thy many blessings upon us already this week. Lord, as we come to another night of meeting together, we are mindful of our need for the fresh outpouring of Thy Spirit in this meeting. We do thank Thee for the messages that we've heard this week. We do thank Thee for the times of fellowship. Lord, we thank Thee for the precious time of singing Thy praise together and how it lifts our hearts. But Lord, we do pray especially tonight for the preaching of the Word of God. And we lift up our brother, Reverend John Wagner, unto Thee and ask that You will have Thy hand upon him, Lord, that as we were able to testify last night that we heard from Thee, so we will be able to leave this place tonight saying we have heard from our Lord. We have been spoken to, our hearts have been touched, and the Word has been fresh to us. We pray, Lord, for a Word that will stick with us, as it were a meal that will stick to our bones, that will cause us to be changed as we leave this place. We pray that You will fill our brother with the Holy Spirit and that each and every person here will know a word in season for our souls. Help us, O Lord. We need Thee. We were hearing last night of the need in our day, how great it is for a revival, for reformation, for recognizing what's brought us to where we are. And Lord, we pray tonight that we would hear again a word that will lead us into the prayer closet, that will so stir us to be a people given to prayer, to see the work of God go forward in our day. So, Lord, please undertake for us. Open our hearts to attend unto the things that will be spoken by our brother. And may every aspect of this service be owned by the Holy Spirit to the glory of the triune God. Hear our prayers, Lord, through the Lord Jesus Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you very much, Mr. Elder, for leading us to the Lord in prayer. I want to give you all a very warm, hearty word of welcome to this Thursday night meeting of our International Congress. And it is a joy to see all who have gathered in the Lord's house once more. And we welcome everyone, and we're glad that you're here. And we pray that the Lord will draw near and touch our hearts as we are before Him. We're gathered here to listen to His word, to meet with Him, to be blessed in our hearts, to go away knowing, as our brother has prayed, that the Lord has come and visited our souls. And may that be the experience of every one of us. We have many gathered here tonight from across our churches. We have, of course, our friends from North America, from the churches in the States and in Canada. And we're delighted that they've been able to come and that they're here once again. And we trust the Lord will bless you all as you are here in this meeting. And any other visitors who are among us, we thank you for being here. And we pray that your hearts will be blessed as you've come to hear the Word of God. Just a couple of announcements here. There is, of course, really only this to say, that is the meeting tomorrow night in the will of God at 8 o'clock when the Reverend Paul Foster will bring the message. Also tomorrow night, our brother, the Reverend Logan Elder, who has just led us in prayer, will bring testimony. And I believe that will be good for us all to hear as he tells of how the Lord saved him and has led him along to the point of going into the gospel ministry, preparing himself for it, and now serving Christ in the state of Florida, in that city of Orlando. And so remember Mr. Elder in prayer. Remember our brother, the Reverend Foster, in prayer, as he preaches the Word of God. The Young People's Choir that has been preparing for the final meeting tomorrow night will be taking part also in song, and we look forward to that time with our young people from across our churches. And we pray indeed that the Lord will bless them and use them as they sing the Lord's praise. Just to remind you of church magazines, Behind me in the room, frankly out in the actual hallway, if you come in the side door, you would see a table there, and there are some bundles of magazines, both current and Let the Bible Speak magazines, and also Vision magazines. So those three different magazines, there are some churches have not yet collected their copies, so do that tonight. The Vision magazines that I've mentioned are for the churches in the Belfast area. And so all of you brethren from the city here, go to the table and collect your Vision magazines. Then the other one's current magazine from North America, Let the Bible Speak magazine. They're also there, and some of you have to pick them up. So please do that. That will be much appreciated, because they have to be sent out, and they're here for that reason, for that purpose. So to keep that in mind, we're going to turn to hymn number 418, hymn number 418. And we will sing this hymn, and immediately afterwards, the Reverend John Wagner will come to bring the Word of God for this particular meeting. I want to give him a very hearty welcome to the pulpit here this evening. I do so on behalf of the Congress Committee and our Presbytery in general. He is a beloved brother. He has preached many times in Northern Ireland over many, many years gone by. And he and I go back a long way, as we say, right back to the early days of my ministry in Newtown Square, where the Lord brought him in under the ward in those times. And we're glad that he's here, and he's going to be the preacher tonight. Oh, the offering, yes. See, basket's been waved at me. So we have the offering as well at this stage. And do remember the offering, please, and give as generously as you possibly can. And then afterwards, when we have got the offering in, we'll stand for the final verse or two, then the Reverend Wagner will bring God's word. Hymn number 418, keeping your seats for these opening verses. I'm pressing on. Verses. We'll sing the whole hymn, and then Mr. Wagner will bring God's word.
Oh, If you'll put your finger in Hebrews 11, or a marker of some sort, and then turn back to Genesis chapter 5. While you're turning, I should express my shock that a Ballymena man forgot to take up the offering tonight. Also to welcome you to July 4th, Independence Day for America, in the UK, no less. Genesis chapter 5, I want to take the time to read from verse 1 and through to verse 24, and then we'll flip over to Hebrews 11 and read one verse there. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, this is the word of God. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enos lived 90 years and begat Cainan. And Enos lived after he begat Cainan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Cainan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. And Cainan lived after he begot Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Cainan were 910 years. And he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begot Jared 830 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years. And he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years. And begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Hebrews 11, please. Verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Amen. God bless the reading of his holy word for his own name's sake. Would you please bow your head for a moment with me? We need the Lord tonight. Ask him to come, to draw near to you. Let's all pray. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we still our hearts once again as we come to this time where the book is to be opened and proclaimed. Thou dost know far better than we how much all of us need the power of the Spirit of God, whether it's in preaching the word or in understanding it and knowing that still small voice that speaks to our innermost being. Grant tonight, Lord, a holy hush to be upon us, not of weariness of the flesh, not a hush that comes from sleepiness or boredom, but one that comes because we've been made aware that God is in this place. Grant it, we pray, all for thine own glory and the good of thy people. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I've been asked to deal with the subject going forward in our walk with God. Somewhere in the course of my thoughts about this subject, an event that took place in the life of Duncan Campbell came to mind. As I'm sure many of you know, Duncan Campbell was the evangelist that God used preeminently in what has come to be known as the Isle of Lewis Revival that took place in the British Hebrides in the mid-1950s. He had been invited to be the guest preacher for a short 10-day mission in a church in a small village of Barvis. He ended up staying for 2 years, all because God came down in a mighty awakening for the lost and a reviving of his people. When he came to Barvis, there was not one teenager in attendance at the house of God in Barvis. But God did begin to move, and the minister of Barvis and the session felt they needed to bring, as a result of two old ladies praying, bring Duncan Campbell to that aisle. Upon his arrival, he was met at the pier by the minister and two elders, and just after stepping off the boat, one of the elders, the oldest of the elders, came up to him and he said, "Mr. Campbell, may I ask you a question? Are you walking with God? Are you walking with God?" That was the one question, the one concern that was uppermost in his mind. It wasn't, "Can I help you with your luggage? Did you have a nice trip over? Do you want a bite to eat?" It was, "Are you walking with God?" It had been years since I had listened to the audio recording of Duncan Campbell's own report of what took place in that revival. A number of weeks ago, I awakened very early one morning, long before the sun came up, with the thought of this message on my mind and that exchange that took place between Duncan Campbell and that elder. I wanted to refresh my memory of just what he said exactly and what took place on that pier. So while half asleep, still groggy in my mind, I reached for my cell phone. I pulled up sermon audio and did a search for that account of Duncan Campbell. I felt it being put to me when I was done. "Are you walking with God?" I went on to listen to the rest of that recording, and I found myself lying in my bed with tears running down my face. "Are you walking with God?" My cry was to the Lord that early morning in bed, "Lord, will you not do it again? Will you not do it again?" The subject before us this evening is vital to any blessing we hope to see upon our communities, upon our churches, upon our families, upon our own hearts. So the question that I need to put to you was the one that elder put to Duncan Campbell, and the one the Lord put to me that early morning several weeks ago. Are you walking with God? I'm not asking if you're a minister of the gospel, a missionary, an elder, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher. I'm not asking if you are faithful in your church attendance, that you always are there for the prayer meeting, that you even engage every time in the prayer meeting. I'm not asking you if you are faithful in giving, if you're consistent in your family devotions or your personal devotions. You see, you may be able to say yes to all of those things, and yet the question still must be asked, am I walking with God? It's that question that opens up this whole matter of going forward in your walk with God. We've read this evening about a man who walked with God. Verse 22, Genesis 5, states that Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. His total life on earth was 365, and it appears that for 65 years of his life, he did not walk with God, but God stepped into his life, and for the next 300 years, he walked with God. The Holy Spirit repeats this characteristic about his life in verse 24. And Enoch walked with God. Double mention, back to back. It's like God is saying, I want you to take notice. Enoch walked with me. God says, I want you to see that. But what does that mean? What does that mean with walking with God and going forward in our walk with God? What's it look like in real time? Because that's all that really matters. It's not our theories, not our theology. It's what does walking with God look like in real time? I believe that most of us here this evening would say, in answer to this question, well, I think I'm walking with God, but I feel there's so much lacking. Preacher, if I'm going to be honest with you, I feel there's so much lacking in my walk with God. So much inconsistency. That there's so much hindering my walk with God. I know there's a closer walk. I know there's something more to enjoy and experience in my walk with God, but I never seem to get there. And so we come back to the theme of tonight's message, going forward in our walk with God. Going forward is about making progress. Going forward is about making change. It's my heart's cry that we all confess we need change, don't we? I need change in my life. I need my walk with God to change. Surely we all, if we're honest, would say we need changing. And it's my prayer that when all is said and done tonight, that change will begin to be effected. And why can't that be so? Is it going to be just a meeting and just a sermon and we go out unchanged? God forbid. Making progress. You see, you walk to get somewhere. You have a destination, you have a goal, you walk to get somewhere, but we need to find out what God's Word says about walking with God. How will we ever go forward if we don't understand what we're to go forward in? Why we need to go forward in it? How we go forward in our walk with God? And what are the blessings that will come as a result as we go forward in our walk with God? That's in summary what we want to look at this evening. So my first question, I have four questions tonight. Try to answer as briefly as I can. First, what is walking with God all about? I fear things can become, phrases that we use can become jargon and we don't get the reality of them. Well, what is walking with God really all about? This is the first time you ever read in Scripture of a man walking with God, Enoch. And the only other time you actually read of a man specifically walking with God is Noah. Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. So in describing someone's life in that way, because that's what the Holy Ghost is doing, in describing someone's life in that way, what does God want us to understand about walking with God? We're meant to get that, you know. Here it is, Genesis chapter 5, and there's this guy who is walking with God, and God says it twice about him. The next man, the next prominent man is Noah, and he says he walked with God. So obviously God wants his people to know something at least of what walking with God is about. What is it really about? Because it's not about church attendance. It's not about saying your prayers. It's not about memorizing X amount of number of scripture verses. That's all part and parcel, but that's not at the heart of it all. First, walking with God is fundamentally about a relationship. It's fundamentally about a relationship. I don't believe there is a more oft-used term in Scripture to describe someone's relationship to God and their spiritual condition than the word walk. Just look it up. Do the word search. How often that word describes those who have a relationship with God or don't have one with God and describes their spiritual condition. Whether it's walk or feet, good study for those of you who want to do a study on feet in the Word of God. Or the word path or way or road. Really, really is stressed by the Spirit of God, the walk. Walking with God is primarily about a real, living, personal relationship between God and His people. Think in terms of relationship, not in terms of activity per se, but in terms of a relationship. I'll talk a bit more about this in a moment, but those of you who are married understand what I mean when I say, you know, marriage is not really about activity. It's about a relationship that you have with someone. That's fundamental. And if you don't understand that fundamental truth about marriage, you're going to have a rough marriage, I can tell you. The same is true with our walk with God. It's not primarily about how well you know your Bible. That doesn't mean you walk with God. I'll tell you one thing, folks. Those Pharisees knew their Old Testaments inside and out. But they weren't walking with God. It's not about how long you pray. It's not about how grounded you are in systematic theology. It's not about how consistent you are in your prayer life. I'm not saying that knowing your Bible or consistency in prayer or having a good grasp of great theological truths of God's Word isn't important, but you can have all of that and still not walk with God in a way that you go forward, that you make progress, that you're somewhere else next year than you were this year. You're somewhere else in your walk with God 2 years down the road than you were 2 years before that time came, because progress has been made because of a relationship. I dare say if I asked husbands and wives, they've been married for a number of years, it's developed, hasn't it? Hopefully for the good. You've learned to live with each other and to tolerate each other and to say, I'm sorry. It's grown. If you've been married for 10 years and your marriage now is where it was 10 years ago, you need help. No, you expect it to grow. And so it is in this walk with God. It's primarily about a relationship we have with Him. If I can put it like this, walking with God is about God and His people experiencing and enjoying each other's company. Simple enough? Experiencing and enjoying each other's company. Enoch's religion was something that wasn't merely external. He walked with God, and he walked before God. His religion was something that was very, very internal because it was heart religion. It was a religion of the heart that developed because of this relationship that he had with his God. That's what it's primarily about, fundamental. So then I would ask you, what is your relationship like with Christ right now? Now, I get something, folks, and I'm very careful about this. I understand that a message like this, it's unavoidable for us to do some introspection, some self-examination. I don't want to go overboard with it, but it still has to be done. I am not here to lay a guilt trip on anybody, including myself. But we all, if we want to go on and progress in our walk with God, we have got to honestly ask the question, where am I in this relationship I have with Jesus Christ? It's all about a relationship. So what's it like between Him and me? Furthermore, it's about closeness to God. Enoch enjoyed his friendship with the Lord, and God enjoyed his friendship with Enoch. They were close friends. God and Enoch were close friends. Remember Abraham. God called Abraham my friend in Isaiah 41, verse 8. That Hebrew term friend speaks of one who's greatly loved. Abraham is my friend. Three times in John 15, three verses back to back, Christ calls his disciples his friends. You're my friends, you're my friends, you're my friends. And that's exactly how he thinks of us. I don't want to embarrass him, but I will. I did a lot of that on Friday night past, but John Greer is the closest friend I have. We're close. When you're close to someone, you love to be with them. Right? You love your spouse, you love to be with your spouse. Matter of fact, you married the spouse because you wanted to be the rest of your lives with them. We are his close friends, and the Lord loves to love us. He loves to be with us, to walk with him. Even with all our faults and flaws and failures, Christ does not and will never view us as his enemies. There's nothing you can ever do that will make Christ your enemy. He'll always be your close friend, your closest friend. And that's what you do. You walk with your friends. He's not against us. He is unceasingly and unchangeably for us. Christ has made peace with God for us by the blood of his cross. The problem, the sin problem, has been put away forever. Yep, we sin. You sin today, thought, word, and deed. But the blood of his Son still cleanses us from all sin. Still does it. Keeps on cleansing, keeps on cleansing, keeps on cleansing. There are sins you did today and you weren't even aware of it. But God saw it. You didn't even know it to ask, Lord, forgive me for it. But God saw it. Cleansed, cleansed, cleansed. God brought us into a very close and eternal relationship with Himself when He brought us into union with Christ. And He will do whatever it takes to see that relationship is never destroyed, that it is never, ever ended. The Lord is always looking to walk with us and for us to walk with Him. I got to think that He's genuinely interested in your close fellowship. And that's why He sent someone to talk to you about your walk with Him. I kind of think there's maybe one or two here that you're not walking with Him. Isn't it something special that God would send a man to tell you about it because he misses you walking with Him? If we could only get our eyes and hearts fixed on that truth, it would make a big difference on how we walk in this world, that the Lord just loves to walk with His people. It would transform our prayer lives. It would transform our reading of God's Word and our relationships with others. Thirdly, walking with God is about walking according to the commandments of God. For 300 years before his translation to heaven, Enoch walked in such a way that according to Hebrews 11, verse 5, he had this testimony that he pleased God. People looked at his life. He had this testimony, this witness. He pleased God. His life bore witness to the fact that in walking with God, he walked the way God walked. He went the way God went. He walked according to his commandments, to his rules, to his laws. He walked to please the Lord, not to displease him. Luke says of Zacharias and Elizabeth, parents of John the Baptist, they were, quote, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the law, blameless. So, walking with God, allow me just to some short snippets of scripture here to get the picture. Walk in the fear of the Lord. Walk in His statutes. Walk in the light as He is in the light. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Walk in the Spirit. Walk not after the flesh. Walk in truth. That's walking. It's. Can I get down? It's just plain old-fashioned holy living. It's about purity of life. It pleases Him. It's about pure speech, the pure use of our tongues. It's about having pure thoughts, going the ways of purity, pursuing holiness of life. It's not trying to see how close I can get to sin and to the world and still maintain my testimony before others. Because God, it's not about others. It's about walking with the Lord and pleasing Him. Walking with God is also about walking contrary to the world. Walking according to His commandments also means walking contrary to the world. We're walking in this world, no doubt about it, with a God whose holiness, whose love for righteousness and hatred and abhorrence of sin cannot be estimated by us. It's incomprehensible. So you walk with the Lord, you walk where the Lord walks, and that means you don't walk where He doesn't walk. Now you take that one on board, brothers and sisters. You're going to walk contrary to the world. You're not going to walk the way of the world. You're not going to go the direction of the world, because that's not the way the Lord walks. And if you're going to walk with the Lord, then you walk contrary to this world. So to walk with him in this world is to walk with him with the aim to please him, to find out just what his will is, to find out what he loves and what he hates, what he wants you to do and what he doesn't want you to do. It's impossible. It's impossible to walk in fellowship with God while walking down the paths in life he abhors. It is not going to happen. Never think for a moment that your walk will be pleasing to God if you walk hand in hand with the very things he despises. Enoch, you know, that man lived in an age that was corrupt. The world was becoming ripe for the flood. Apostasy from God seemed to be the order of the day. But Enoch walked a different path. He walked contrary to the generation in which he lived. And that pleased the Lord. What does walking contrary to the world look like? You see, brothers and sisters, there's no way you and I are going to go forward in our walk with God if we're walking down paths that actually feed our flesh. Are you doing that? What do you watch? If you have a television, what do you look at? What movies? Pornography? No way you're going to walk with God and use your eyes to do that. Listen to blasphemy. How is that pleasing to the Lord if this is a path that we go down? What scares me to death? You know what scares me to death? That this is now the norm in the average Christian home and they think nothing about it. It's standard fare. Children are being raised on it and they think it's normal. That there's nothing wrong with it. Your forefathers didn't think that way. How can we walk close to God and walk close to the world? It just cannot happen. We don't need to be wondering why. It's not some mystery as to why it's something's just not right in my walk with the Lord. It's pretty simple. What kind of music do you listen to? When I walked away from the Lord at 18 years of age and started walking into nightclubs and bars, the only music I listened to was the world's music. Three years later, the Lord brought me back home. And he said, "You're done walking away from me. You're coming back." First thing I did, I went home, took all my rock and roll records, destroyed them. Took my drug paraphernalia, destroyed it. The drugs went down the toilet. Because I wanted to walk with God again. You do not tell me that you're walking with God if you're steadily listening to rock and roll music, the music of the... Don't tell me that you are. If you believe that, you are self-deceived. It's not happening. And yet I fear if I were to ride along unknown in the car, the van of many a Christian, that's what they would have on the radio. And they think it's okay. And it's not. You won't get close to God like that. Believe you me, I'm not saying that if the only thing you listen to is good, solid Christian music, you're going to be like a saint on earth. That's not what I'm saying. This is about a relationship. Wanting to please Him, not doing that which you know is going to grieve Him. So I guess I need to stop off now and say, tell me, in light of what I've just said, is there anything that needs to change in your home? In your life, in your walk with God. Walking with God also speaks of constancy. Enoch walked 300 years. It was a habit. It was habitual. He was known for this way of walking in his life. It's something that characterized him. And when you walk with God, there'll be a characteristic about your life. It'll be something that's habitual. You do it continually. That's basically the idea behind walking with God. Second major thought, what does it mean to go forward in our walk with God? What does it mean to go forward? That's walking with God. So now, briefly, what does it mean to go forward in our walk with God? Obviously, if you're walking with God, you are. If you're walking with God, you are going forward because God never walks backward. But the subject of my message does indicate that there's a vital need for every Christian to make that progress in their walk with the Lord. We sang it tonight. Did you mean it when you sang it? My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Did you mean it when you sang it? To go forward, to make progress in our walk with God means, in the first place, that our driving purpose in living in this world will become more and more in line with God's purpose for us living in this world. God's purpose for you and me living in this world is to glorify Him in our walk and to enjoy Him in our walk. That is why we're here. That's point of our existence. Everything else takes a back seat. It doesn't matter where you work. It doesn't matter your lot in life. You're saved, and your chief purpose is to glorify Him in your walk, how you live, and to enjoy Him in your walk and how you live. And what I'm saying is, as we make progress in our walk in life, our walk with God, then that becomes more and more the driving purpose of our life. We become far more interested in the Lord's glory and not in our glory. We find more enjoyment in our relationship with Him than in the enjoyment of the things that are so passing in this world. That means making progress in your walk. It also means we will have a clearer and brighter testimony to lost and saved alike that we live to please God. It becomes more apparent. The people you work with, your children, your spouse, the church members, yes, even the strangers you meet up with, there's something different. There's something just different. They might not be able to put their finger on it, But it's because you've been making progress in your walk with the Lord. It stands out. You know, we heard a message about going forward in our witness for God. You want to know how you go forward in your witness, then you make progress in your walk. The more progress you make in your walk with God, the stronger your witness for God will be. We will also, it means going forward, progress, we will walk closer and closer to the Lord. Closer and closer and closer to the Lord. It's a wonderful thing that no matter how close you get, there's always a place where you can get closer, where you can have more intimacy with your God. That you do not have to live at some far distance from the Lord, some just casual now and then talk with Him, but you can get closer and closer and yet closer. We sing, nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Do we know what we're singing? What does that mean? What does that mean? To get nearer to Him? We will be more sensitive to His Spirit, to His voice, the closer we are to Him. You know, you got to shut out the din of the world to hear the still, small voice of the Spirit of God. And your ear just becomes more attuned. The Word starts speaking to you far more. You read your Bible and things begin to leap out. The Lord's talking to you. You're getting closer to Him. And He's showing more of Himself to you. Because of that, you get tuned in. You can go out of a meeting and say, the Lord spoke to me this morning. Some other Christian just went in one ear and out the other, but the Lord spoke to you. You're getting nearer. The closer we get to Him, the more we're going to live in the awareness of His love, of His mercy, of His compassion. My, how we need that. I don't just need someone to tell me about how much the Lord loves me, how great compassion He has upon me. Folks, that doesn't do me a lick of good if I don't feel it. If I don't sense by His Spirit the Lord just loving on me, as we would say in the South, loving on me. Reminding me of how precious I am to Him. That's when you change. Now, of course, that means we're going to walk, as we get closer, walk more in the enjoyment of the gospel. Enjoyment of the gospel. You ever felt, as you thought about your own life, reflected upon it and where you are and your walk with God, and the devil has this way of just magnifying everything that's wrong with you. Have you ever found yourself before the Lord and saying, Lord, why in the world would you want to walk with someone like me? Have you not? Well, if you haven't, I have. Why? Why would you want me close to you? Because, Lord, you know all about my sins. And you know, Lord, those sins, there are quite a few that have been deliberate. I knew what I was doing. I knew what I was saying. I knew how I was reacting. It was wrong. And I've come to you so many times with the same sins, and you still love on me. And you still forgive me. Lord, what in the world? Why would you want me near you? I'll tell you why. It's because of the gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. That's why. Every time our God looks at us, he sees Christ. He sees his son who is well beloved. And he always loves the son. That's the good news. And you walk in the light of that more and more the closer you get to the Lord. You get farther away from that, that doesn't happen. Our usefulness to God is going to increase as we progress in our walk with him. You see, the closer you get to the Lord, you start bearing more spiritual fruit. The love and the joy and the peace, the long-suffering, the goodness, being distempered, all, it just becomes more. Now, you folk over here have fruit trees, I guess apples. Do you have apples, apple trees here? Okay. Not orange trees, though, not grapefruit. What is the fruit for? Oh, what a lovely apple tree that is. What a beautiful orange tree. No, the whole point of the fruit is for someone to benefit from it. Someone else. And that's the point. We become more beneficial to others as we progress in our walk with God. Now you say the Lord's not using me very much. Well, let me ask you, where are you in your walk with God? Third thought. Why must we go forward in our walk with God? Why must we go forward? We need to remember there are real dangers if we do not go forward, if we do not make progress in our walk with God. First, instead of getting nearer and nearer to God, if we don't get nearer and nearer, we're going to get farther and farther away. There's no such thing as standing still. It's not going to happen. We will lose whatever ground we have gained. Spiritual decline is going to be inevitable. Our desire for communion with him will disappear. We won't have any hunger for the Word of God. Oh, you'll have a hunger for watching that TV series. You'll have a hunger for getting on and spending an hour or two on Facebook or whatever the social media is that you're on, if you're on it. But you really won't have any growing interest in reading the Scriptures. Your Bible will be laid aside. And you'll not be very much desirous to talk with your friend, to commune in prayer, if you don't go forward. I don't know where you all are. I don't live with you. But you know whether or not you have any hunger for his word, whether or not you're reading his word, whether or not you have a desire to go and talk to the Lord. And if it's not there, then you're proving my point. Why you must go forward. You can't stand still. Our love for the Lord will grow cold, while our desires for the world and all that's in the world will increase. And when that happens, we begin to set up idols in our lives and idols in our homes. We begin to love and prefer those things over the Lord. We prefer those things over communing with him. We prefer those things over his word. We prefer those things over going to the house of God. You tell me why there is such a decline, whether it's in Ulster, whether it's in my country, why is there such a decline in the weekly prayer meeting of the church? Why? It's got to come back to one thing, basically. People don't want to come together and seek God's face in prayer. Why is that? Why don't they want corporately to call upon the Lord? Something's amiss in the walk. Let's just call it for what it is. Something's wrong. We begin to excuse sin. At one time, we would have said, that's wrong. The Lord doesn't want that. Now we find out we're making excuses for sin, calling it by different names, justifying it. Because you didn't go forward in your walk with God. Flowing from that, guilt will plague us and take away our joy. You might not, because you've been drifting, you might not think like that, but the reason you're miserable is because guilt always makes you miserable. You can put on all the laughter in the face you want to, but I know one thing. If you're His, you're actually saved, and you're not walking with Him, you are miserable. Tell all the jokes you want, but I know it's on the end. I've been there, folks. I've done it. And you're miserable because guilt makes you miserable. If you don't go forward in your walk with God. Moreover, it will become easy prey for Satan. Easy prey. Now he says, there's a bullseye on that back. That's my target. They're walking with God, hard to get to them, but my, easy, easy now. Spurgeon said this, it is when the Christian departs from his God, becomes spiritually starved, and endeavors to feed on vanities that the devil discovers his vantage hour. Now's the time to strike. You want to know why there are Christians who have done things that you never thought they would ever, ever, ever see that happen with them? They quit walking with God. They quit making progress. They became an easy target. Walked away from God. Colder. Love dies out. Ignore His word. Ignore prayer. And now they do things unthinkable. You cannot play with this relationship with God. You cannot play with it. The stakes are too high. Something else, our homes, our families will fall into spiritual disarray if we do not go forward in our walk with God. Spiritual disarray. Marriages will suffer. You might live under the same roof and sleep in the same bed, but your marriage will suffer. There's no way you can walk in harmony and live in peace. Marriage itself is constant work. Constant work requires great grace and forgiveness and patience and forbearance, kindness. And that's when you're walking with God. But when you don't, fighting, bickering, criticizing, fault finding, anger. And don't you dare lay it at anybody's door but your own. You stop walking with God. Don't be surprised. There will arise another generation of children that don't know the Lord because mom or dad or both didn't walk with Him. Hey, listen, folks, it happened at the end of Joshua's years. There arose another generation that knew not the Lord. Well, how did that happen? Because families broke down, homes broke down. They weren't walking with God. Flowing on from that, our churches will suffer the consequences. There's no way there's a magic wand that's waved when you walk through the back doors of a church on Sunday morning or Sunday evening. What you are at home is what you bring into the church. Full stop. What you are at home, where you are walking with God or not, is what's going to happen when you come into the church. Can you understand the influence that has upon the worship of God's people? A congregation doesn't all of a sudden become spiritual because they've come into church. And our churches suffer. Finally, the Lord's glory will depart. By that I mean His presence. It's the presence that makes all the difference, whether it's at home or whether it's in the house of God. There'll be nothing but deadness. Orthodox sermons preached, but there's no life. Deadness. No change. No awareness that God is here and He's talking to me. If we do not go forward in our walk with God. So the question now is, how do we go forward in our walk with God? How do you do it? Well, I ask another question. You might understand this a bit better. How do a husband and wife go forward in their marriage? This has just become so clear to me since the Lord took my wife home. Things you learn when that happens, you never know otherwise. How do a husband and wife go forward in their marriage? Interested? You spend more time talking to each other. Communication. Communication stops, marriage falls apart. Now, how do you go forward? You just spend more time talking with the Lord. You don't wait till the end of the day where you're so dead tired you get five words out of your mouth and you fall asleep. You just spend more time talking to Him. Are you going to tell Him, the Lord, you're too busy? Is that what you're going to say? What if you told your husband that? What if you told your wife that? Honey, I'm just too busy to talk to you right now. You don't tell the Lord that. He's just waiting to hear from you. Remember, He's your friend. He loves you to talk to Him. So you want the relationship to deepen and to grow, that's what we're talking about, then you take the time, more time to talk with Him. Open your heart. Tell Him everything. That's how it works in marriage. You hold things back, it's a problem. No, you have enough trust in each other, you can tell Him all that's on your heart, because if you can't tell your spouse on the earthly realm, who can you tell? So it is with the Lord. You tell Him everything. Lord, my heart's just so cold. Lord, I haven't been close to You lately. I want to get back to that. Lord, You know these struggles I'm having. They just go on. But You just tell Him. You talk to Him. And of course, you want the Lord to talk more to you. So what does that mean? Well, there's nothing new under the sun, right? It means that you've got to go to the book to hear Him talk to you. You've got to go to the Word to hear Him talk to you. You got to keep coming and putting yourself under the sound of the preaching of God's Word. He talks to you. You stay away from the Word, whether it's in your home, whether it's in your prayer closet, whether it's at church. You're hurting yourself, and you're not going to go forward. But if you wanted to make progress, then my Lord, what do you have to say to me? Like tonight. Man, I pray the Lord's talking to you. Thirdly, keep short accounts with God. Keep short accounts. Daily confess. Immediately confess, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. You don't? What is the old, the little foxes spoil the vine? Little sins you think are okay, you can just let them pass? You can't? You know, Satan always uses little temptations to lead to greater ones. You have to keep short accounts with God. If not, you walk farther from Him. Be dead in earnest about anything or anyone that could draw you away from God. Be dead in earnest about avoiding anything and anyone that could draw you away from God. Friends, if they can draw you away from God, they're not your friend. They are your enemy. Something in your home? You know if it's drawing you away from the Lord. You know it. Don't tell me you don't know it. And if you have to look me in the eye today and say, yep, I know that is drawing me away from the Lord, then what do? Make an altar to it? No. You avoid anything and anyone that could draw you away from nearness to God. You've been very patient. I do have one fifth and final question, briefly. What's the benefits? What comes to us if we make progress, go forward in our walk with God? Well, our work, our witnessing, all of it flourishes. We will grow in humility because the closer you go with the Lord, the humbler you become. Pride stands out. It stinks. It has a bad smell. But you find someone that's walking, going on in their walk with God, there's a nice aroma about them. There's a sweetness, there's a graciousness, there's a kindness, there's a tenderness, there's compassion, there's pity, there's understanding. Whew. The Church of Jesus Christ could do with a great dose of that. He has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. It's wonderful how that works. The Lord just brings you lower as He brings you higher. We'll walk nearer and nearer to Him and brings us more of a little heaven on earth. I want to tell you tonight, I don't know where you are, I don't know how you feel about where you are with God, but in spite of what the devil says, you can walk with God, and you can walk very closely with God. It's not something reserved for missionaries or ministers or elders or deacons, office bearers, all that's, nope. The average guy or girl in the pew can walk very close with the Lord. The Lord wants you close. He loves it when you walk close to Him. He doesn't reject you and throw you away as trash when you don't walk close to Him. His love doesn't change, but my, how He loves you to walk close to Him. He wants you right by His side all the time. So, is there someone here tonight in this meeting that has not been walking with the Lord? You're in the meeting. Come now, let's just be honest. Because the Lord knows where you are. Can't fool Him. Well, the Lord came with a word for you tonight, whoever you are. He's telling you, I know you're not walking with Me. But I want you back. Come on. You come near. The Lord's talking to you. You should be thrilled. Why would He want to walk with the likes of us? We're His own, because of Christ. I know with all my heart that if every believer here tonight says, right, by the grace of God, I'm going to walk with God far more closely than ever I've done, by His grace helping me, you'll be shocked at the difference it'll make in your home. You'll be shocked at the difference it will make in your church. Because His people got dead in earnest about walking with the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, we come to the close now, but we still want Thee to speak on to all of us. The preacher goes away, but Thy Spirit does never go away. I pray, Lord, for any soul here this evening who has lost out with Thee. Perhaps they've been walking away from Thee for a long time. Bring them back, Lord, tonight, we pray. Draw them to Thyself. Defeat the devil's plans for them. Do things we look not for. And Lord, for those who have by Thy grace been walking with Thee, may they have their sights set to higher ground for greater closeness to Thy Son and greater usefulness in Thy cause. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
We want to turn together just for a closing hymn. Very appropriate words in the light of what we've heard tonight. Hymn number 416. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. We thank the Lord's servant for his ministry. And certainly the Lord has been here tonight. We've heard a powerful message, one we want to consider deeply, earnestly. As he was saying there, if there is anybody here tonight who is troubled about these matters, come and see Mr. Wagner. He'll be here afterwards, and we trust that there will be those who might seek out his help and his counsel, and that there would be what we're going to sing about now in this hymn 416, that closer walk with God, that restoration of a walk with the Lord that is real. And so we're going to sing this hymn At the close, our brother, Reverend David Priestley, will come forward and he will bring the meeting to an end with a word of prayer. Number 416. Let's all stand, please.
Let's all unite our hearts together in prayer. Our gracious, loving, eternal Father, we bow in thy sacred and most holy presence in the Savior's lovely name. And how we thank thee for the relationship that we have with thee. We do know more and more that we were strangers and foreigners. We were alienated from thee. Our hearts were full of all enmity. But how we praise thee for that day and so many of our experiences, when there was a work of grace, when thou didst have mercy upon our unrighteousness, and Lord, thou didst draw us with the bands of a man and with the cords of love. And, O Lord, this is our prayer. that we would have a closer walk with thee. We read in thy word that David went on going and growing. And Lord, that is our desire. We think of how the bride said that she sat under thy shadow with great delight, and thy fruit was sweet unto her taste. And Lord, we have savored something of that. Amen. This night. Amen. Thou hast drawn alongside. I have heard thy voice. All of us have been at thy feet. We have experienced something of Mary's part. Yes. And, O Lord, help us to forget the things that are behind, amen, to reach forth unto the things that are before. Amen. And help us, O Lord, by thy good grace, to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Deliver us, Lord, from being lukewarm. Deliver us from being distant in our daily walk with thee. Draw us, and we will run after thee. Amen. Help us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Help us, Lord, to live righteously and godly and soberly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, amen, and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Lord, we thank thee for this time. Thou hast been so merciful to us. And remember us tomorrow night in thy will, yes, as we gather again. Lord, spread the table and grant our Father that thy servant, Mr. Foster, will know the portion that Mr. Wagner knew tonight. And greater blessing, Lord, give us waters to swim in. Amen. We're in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. We long to see thy power and thy glory. O Lord, come suddenly and visit us again and give us waters to swim in. Tomorrow night, part us in thy fear, and with thy blessing, the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, may it remain and abide with us in the Savior's name. Amen. Amen.